want, we can just turn to Genesis 1 if you have your Bibles. I think Genesis means like the beginnings or in the beginnings, like the book of beginnings. And it's quite like the profound book, you know. It's really interesting, all the difference. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. I just really liked how, like, you know, we represent the earth. Hosea, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you. And I think this is a lot of symbolic, you know, in the beginning when our hearts were without form and void and darkness was upon the face of our deep. And the next part says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And waters can also represent peoples, you know. Revelation 17, I'm sure we're all familiar with it. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So it's like really poetic and symbolic. Like the Lord moved upon the peoples and like he found us and shined light into our hearts, our earth, and gave us form. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6 here. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7 is really interesting. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And like I think here too it represents peoples. And I think it's revealed in Revelation 15. You guys might already know this, but I thought it was really interesting. Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And this sea of glass is also mentioned in Revelation 4:6. It was a throne scene. Remember the John seeing the throne, and you had the four beasts, it was a four beasts full of eyes within and without. And you had the 24 elders there, verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And this same is also in Ezekiel. Remember in Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel like seen the same thing with the, he seen the angels with the wings on each side. And Ezekiel says, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as a color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one towards the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side, their bodies. Skip down to 25, Ezekiel 1:25. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Isaiah 40 says, it is he that sits upon the firmament, I think, yeah. And I think this can just go back to Genesis. God separated the waters, which could represent peoples, that was under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament. Revelation 15, those that had gotten the victory, they stand upon the sea of glass. If we go back to Genesis, this is the fourth day, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. It's interesting, it says signs, like it's plural, you know. And back to, I think it's the first day here. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And it's really interesting. Paul says in Thessalonians, I found it really interesting. Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And I think this is reveals a symbology about the woman in Revelation 12. It says she was clothed with the sun and the moon was under her feet. You know, God made two lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. And the Lord said in Revelation 22:16, I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. In 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your hearts. The symbology of the Bible is just absolutely astounding. Like, it is mind-blowing. It's not just another book. It's like really legit. And the more we read it, it's like, wow, like this is it. This is the truth. It's just amazing. So that's all I had.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. I always have been, but just keep on being impressed with the creation account and just those first couple chapters in Genesis, and I just kind of feel like what happened there at the garden, what happened with creation, with the garden, with humanity, is like a super condensed, I mean, I believe it happened. I believe these things happened the way it's written, but I think it's also like a super condensed, poetic story of all humanity. And then, though I've been fascinated by it, I think I've only scratched the surface in how the whole rest of the story, the biblical story, the biblical narrative is a story of what happened from there in God reversing the effects of the sin and the curse and the redemption. And then you get into the revelation of John, which you quoted some from, and you have all this imagery of like, oh, here's this serpent or this dragon again. He's still working against mankind. We can see who the ones are that overcome, the ones who, you know, overcome him by the word, but by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And you end up like you end up in the last part of Revelation with like, oh, again, we've got access to the tree of life again. What we had been barred from ever since humanity you know, broke off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil and was therefore barred from the tree of life, now through Jesus Christ, we have access to it again. And I know not all of us think this way, but I think like these prophetic writings and the revelation of John are more like a literature, a poetic, prophetic literature of what goes on in the spiritual realms between the forces of evil, God, and humanity, than like something we should open up and go through page by page and say like, oh, we're going here in Revelation chapter so-and-so, and in the next 5 years, the next few chapters are going to happen, and then, you know. Anyway, that's my opinion, and I just appreciate whenever anybody can, like, bring out something, like, insightful about that. It was some month back that Darren told me about this inspiration that he had about the woman there in Revelation who was clothed in the day, clothed with the sun, and the moon was under her feet. And I thought, like, oh yeah, it was in light of like how the new covenant being like the day versus the old covenant like the night, and how we are children of day, we're clothed with the sun. I appreciate all you shared there, and it's just a good little opening to get our minds spinning.
What's interesting is, I forgot to share it, but I think like almost everyone here, our lives kind of are symbolic to the life of Abraham. Like how many, I think all of us left our homeland to find like a truthful thing, like Walter, Dwayne, you know, and it's, I thought that, like, the symbolic, it's amazing. Oh, and I also think that sea of glass is the firmament. Sorry, I forgot to say that too.
Thank you, Brother Darren, and I had just two thoughts when you started talking about creation. I don't know if I can tie it in, but in 1 Timothy 3:16 it says, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh, etc. The mystery of godliness. And the word mystery means hidden. You don't know what it is. And so, by faith, we believe that the Genesis account is much more plausible, credible, than Big Bang, evolution, fill in the blank, all the things like that. It's a mystery. In fact, Job, the other point would be Job, when he is confronted by God, he says, well, I'm going to gird up your loins, I'll speak to you as a man. And then Job says, I know nothing at all. Your ways are too wonderful for me. I don't understand anything. So we need that childlike faith that not just you and Dijon and Joe Yoda, myself, and Brother Daniel, we have to just have that childlike faith that the worlds that were framed, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, were framed from invisible things, and God made things. God is a spirit. And God's a spirit. It's hard to... Can you believe that, Matt? God's a spirit. What does the spirit look like? You know? I know. What's the spirit? The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. I don't know if I'll really be connecting this to your thoughts, but I wanted to read right after the Sea of Glass. There's the song. It says the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, and I've just always really appreciated that. It says, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King over the nations. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, because you alone are holy? All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteousness, your righteous acts have been revealed." I've just had this picture of that sea of glass is like the enemy was conquered, I don't know that the Song of Moses, there's kind of two songs of Moses in the Old Testament, one in Deuteronomy 32, but then there's also like right after the Exodus, which seems a little more like relevant to this, that the Egyptians had been crushed by the Red Sea, and then like the waters being still was like the enemy was conquered and defeated, and now that there was peace, and those that had overcome can stand there and worship the Lord and glory in this victory. That's kind of how I see that sea of glass, and it's sort of a picture of that we're striving for, that we can overcome and be able to sing that song at the end. So.
Evening sun.